Welcome to another episode of Talking Spain, brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. Today we're going to wrap up this mini trip that we did a few weeks ago. We had visited a couple of places in Segovia, Soria, and then Segovia again, especially in the town of Marugán. And finally, we ended up going to Medina del Campo, which was about an hour away from where our friend's home was. Technically, it is not Segovia anymore. It's the province of Valladolid. Although in that area, all those provinces pretty much look the same. This is La Meseta in Spain, the open plain. And Medina is right next to Rueda, which is a major producer of white wine. So this is white wine country too. Medina is a town. It's a very large town, probably not quite up there as a city. But for Spanish standards, it might be considered a small city. It's an old one. The word Medina itself comes from the Arabic for city. And it was very important, especially during the Middle Ages and into the 16th and 17th century. It was almost the center of political and economic activity during those centuries, the 15th century and in the 16th century, when Spain was exploding into a global empire. Now, I had been there just last year. I liked the city. I wanted to go back. And I also want to see some of the processions there, because they are some of the oldest in the country. The religious processions for Holy Week are popular all around the country. The most famous ones are probably in the south, in Andalusia. Those are the ones that get most of the attention. But in Castilla, in Castile and León, there are plenty of processions, and they have a very different feel to them. A lot more somber, more serious. So that's what our plan was, and just get a feel for the town and spend the night there. Anyway, during the 1400s, this was one of the places that was happening, mainly in terms of Castile at least, which was coming of age as a major power in Europe and even in the world. Anyway, this town is also famous because Isabel la Católica, the Catholic, known as Isabella in English, of Columbus fame, she traveled quite a bit around that area. In fact, she was born in the nearby town of Madrigal de las Altas Torres. And then she was raised and educated in Arevalo, which is about 30 kilometers to the southeast of Medina. And she was proclaimed queen in Segovia in sort of a sly political maneuver, which I'll tell you about at a different time. And she died in Medina del Campo, and on purpose. I mean, she knew she was coming to the end of her life, and she sort of set up camp there, and she wrote her famous last will, a sort of 20-page document full of fascinating details concerning her thoughts on the future of the kingdom, and life and death and things like that. I'm definitely going to have to talk a little bit more about that on a different occasion, because it's really an interesting document and one that has been studied by scholars over the centuries. And this is where that took place. And that's because there was a royal residence there. Only a small section of it survives to this day. Because of that influence, Medina was also one of the most important commercial trading centers practically in all of Europe, and definitely all of Spain during the 15th and 16th centuries. It originally featured the wool market, which was one of Spain's driving economic forces, economic motors during that period, especially before they found all that gold and silver in South America and Central America. It's a fascinating history, and it's worth taking a look at more carefully, which I'll do at another time. Anyway, this fair also when slowly turned in sort of a into a financial market where people could obtain loans and other credits. So it really was a big deal for many years. Today, Medina is famous for a couple of things. One is this heavily restored but amazing castle, right just to the outside of the center. It's called El Castillo de la Mota, Mota being the Spanish word for moat, as in a moat and bailey castle. And Mota is sort of a hill, higher ground, which was ideal for a place like a castle. It also has Spain's largest Plaza Mayor, main square. I believe in the entire country it's known as the Plaza de la Hispanidad, really amazing place. And then you have the main church, which is a colegiata, a collegiate church, which is not a cathedral, but it's all the same, an impressive building. And then you have the an old stone market, which specializes in meat, butcher shops, and known as carnicerías. And it's about 500 years old. I think it was founded during the time of Isabella and Ferdinand, and it's still used today as a butcher's market, making it the oldest of its kind in the world. And there's a lot more there. It's just a nice town. Anyway, we got there and I beelined it to the nearest pastry shop. I was sort of hungry. I like to check out the pastry shops in these towns and see what they have on offer. Because it was Semana Santa, one of the big things they had was the torrijas, which are those, I always call them French toast. It's not like that at all, in the sense it's a lot more, it's more complicated to make than French toast. And it's overall better. And I highly recommend it. But at that time of year, they're really popular. So I just eat one. I could eat a torrija every day for the rest of my life. And this one we tried was really good. They were also selling bread by the two loaves instead of one, because the next day was going to be Good Friday and all the most of the bakeries are closed that day. So they were offering bread for that day and the next day. And then we went for some coffee and a little breakfast. Amazing breakfast too. It was huge. So it was off to a good start. And then we went to our hotel, which is one of those self-service hotels, not far from the Plaza Mayor. Amazing. It's a brand new, beautiful building, restored building, and they've done a wonderful job there. And the woman who was running it, oh, what's her name? I can't, Laura, her name was. A very nice woman and very recommendable. Anyway, we went around the town a little bit. It was getting close to lunchtime by then. And so we went down to where the riverbed is. There's not much happening there in terms of water. It's dry quite often. I think the river's name is Zapardiel. When things are flowing, when there's a lot of discharge, that river comes to life again. But we walked to the butcher's market, which also had some bars there and had a little couple of tapas. And then we went to have lunch at a place called the Mejillonera, which is a mejillon is mussel, the food. So basically the mussel place. And it was a classic tapas bar. The parents owned the original bar, and the two sons took it over and wanted to give it a different look and a different feel. We had a fantastic meal, a terrific bottle of Verdejo white wine. That's a grape that's become very popular in all around Spain right now. It's basically the most common white wine that you find. There's a lot of the basic sort of industrial version of it, which is cheap and decent enough. It's fine, but it doesn't always do any favors to that variety, because a lot of people think that the Verdejo is sort of one-dimensional. There's a lot more to it, and new wines are coming out proving all the things you can do with this Verdejo wine. We had a wonderful lunch, very nice people at the Mejillonera. If you're ever in town, I recommend that place. It's a fancier meal, but it's not overwhelming by any stretch of the imagination, especially if you live in Madrid. Then we wandered around the town a little bit more, headed back to the hotel, took a pre-procession siesta. And then in the evening, the procession started. The first big one, there were only two that night. There was one that came out of the Church of Santiago, or St. James. And that started around 9 o'clock. Actually, there was one a little bit before that, but just a small one. It went down just a street, maybe, I don't know, a quarter of a mile, and then went into the main church. This was one of the big ones, but one thing I noticed is that the brotherhoods here, the ones who wear those gowns and those caps and carry around the images, they're fairly small compared to if you've been to bigger towns, or if you've been in Madrid, or if you've been to Andalusia or Valladolid. Yeah, or Zamora, and you see these massive processions with hundreds, sometimes thousands of members of these brotherhoods. Here it's a small scale and manageable, but I like it. And this is one of the bigger ones. This group came out of Santiago, and they were interesting because they're sort of their own thing. They have their own procession. And later that night, there was a big one, which I'm going to tell you about in a second. And all the different cofradías or brotherhoods participate except for this one from Santiago. Anyway, you watch them come out of the church and go down the streets. And these processions often work that way. Some people follow them the whole time. Other people will just watch a little bit of it and then walk around and then meet the procession at a different point in the city. Because, you know, the processions take a while. They'll go take usually several hours. And so you don't have to follow it the whole time. And that's what a lot of people do. They'll just go down different streets, go for a tapa or something like that, and go back out, see some friends, talk to neighbors, see another part of the procession. One thing I've always said about processions is that they are focused on detail and very minor details. In other words, the procession left the church, the Santiago one. It was going around the streets, and the people said, what you have to go is to this, basically this soup kitchen and this building which has a lot of social services for the poor, because the procession stops right at that point and they sing a special song. I think it's a touching moment. Sort of the Christian values of thinking of others. And that was one of the highlights of that procession, and then it just moved on. And that's why I like to tell people that when you talk about these processions, people think it's a lot of times they're just going through the streets, they're going through the motions, but then at a particular corner or a specific place, there's a little detail which people who know about the procession will tell you is especially important to them. So we did that. And then a few minutes later, we went to the main square again. They turned off the lights. The different cofradías or brotherhoods were coming from their different churches. They'd come out of the churches and they'd carry their image, a bit of the drumming, boom, 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 boom. They'd be heading to the main square to meet there and sort of line up in order as a parade, and then they were going to depart and start the procession and go around Medina. Now, all the lights in the Plaza Mayor were turned off, and this was the one because a lot of the processioners were carrying lanterns which they held in their hand, and it was a silent procession, just the beat of the drum every once in a while, and it's pretty impressive to see that. So that was enjoyable. A different feel. This is actually, I think this is the oldest procession of what they called disciplina, which means that some people sometimes will, as a show of penitence, do self-harm to themselves, I guess, flagellating or something like that. None of that was here, although you did see several people carrying a cross and they had their legs shackled in chains, and they were barefoot, and they were going to walk around the streets of Medina with that sort of show of repentance, suffering, to show that they're really sorry. But there was no one whipping themselves or anything like that. Still, these are the oldest of that kind in Spain, or that's what they say. And then there was another one the next day. I didn't get up for that. That was one in the early morning. It left a church like at 7 o'clock in the morning, and it went through a neighborhood, which would be considered sort of a working class neighborhood, and that headed up toward where the castle was. I guess there's a moment where the people, the processioners, hand over the image, because they've been carrying it all the way up the hill, and they hand it over to some of the neighbors there who carry on with the procession. So that's sort of one of those magical moments, those details I was telling you about. And then we had some breakfast, went to the castle. I love that castle. It's just amazing. Although it's all been quite redone, there's still a lot of original parts to it. It was massive. One of the finest castles in Spain, in my opinion. So if you get a chance to be in Medina and you like castles, definitely go there. Then we went to the royal residence to see the exhibit about the final will that Isabella wrote just before she died in 1502. And it's a small exhibit, but you know, it's interesting. If you're into history, you're definitely in for a treat. And then we just sort of wandered around the center for a little bit longer, went to a cheese shop and got some excellent cheese, very good cheese from that area. And that pretty much ended our trip to Medina. On the way back, we stopped in Arevalo, which is also another interesting town. But I think I'll hold off for the moment and tell you more about that at a different time. But Medina del Campo, there you have it. An amazing, fascinating Castilian town with a lot of history. And it's still doing pretty well. You know, some of these towns in that part of Spain have suffered a lot over the decades. People fleeing the towns and going to the major cities. For example, you have Valladolid, which is growing quite a bit and has become a major hub, and you sometimes worry that some of these towns are going to suffer. And for the most part, it's still looking quite healthy. I was encouraged by that. That made me feel good. So that was a good sign. Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this Talking Spain episode brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us any comments, because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided on our website and below. And you can also check us out on our YouTube channel and support us by subscribing. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.